Many, many verses in Romans relate to that. And speaking of gifting and capacities and individuals, of course, then we know, wait, there's ethnic diversity, there's educational diversity, there's economic diversity, there's age diversity, there's diversities of personalities and styles, right? We know this. And we tend to think, okay, I'll find people that are like me and hang out with them and we'll make this thing work. And this is saying the opposite of that. This is saying God brings people together in one body who are very, very different, and that's his design and plan, and that's doing something wonderful. And so how do we live together in one body? Under Christ and unto Christ. That's what we're looking at today. And two aspects of that are, this is foundational to this whole thing, is being in Christ. Being a person in Christ and all the implications of that, that's what we're going to look at first. And then we're going to talk about belonging to each other. We're going to talk about the significance of it means like, what are you talking about? I belong to every other person in the body? What does that mean? What are the implications? That's what we're going to talk about. We're looking at this, Romans 12:4, and especially Romans 12:5 today, hearing from God's word the basis and the specifics of biblical unity in a church community. How does this thing work? And it all really emerges from this metaphor of one body. That's the image. I'm praying and hoping you see church today, I know this is a high bar, differently than you've seen it before. I'm praying and hoping you see what it means to be part of a church community in a way different than you've seen it before. Let me give you a little illustration of what I hope might happen. Our granddaughter, who has been riding in a car seat her entire life, has been looking at the car seat because up until a certain age, they have to be turned backwards, right? That's all she's ever seen when she's riding in a car is the car seat. This last week, she's now old enough, my wife turned her around, and she now is looking out. And Lori was saying, there were oohs and ahs coming from the back seat as she now saw what we see when we're driving down the street with trees and houses and all these things that she'd never seen before. She's just looking at the car seat. Many Christians are looking just at the car seat of the church. They're looking at the church through the lens of programmatic, sermon dispensary, checking the box. They're seeing it and interpreting it from the interpretation of their hurt or even their fleshly preference for isolation. Car seat church. But what this text is pointing us to is the amazing church God has for us. Not that we're there, not that it's easy, not that it's going to challenge us. It's the amazing church that God has for us, the connection together in one body. How does this work? That's what this text is about, being in Christ and belonging to each other. Now, we need to do a little bit of ramp up to this by just remembering where we're at in context. This is in the book of Romans, Paul writing to one specific local church. So although this is true of the church universal, it's applied and lived out in the church local as Paul's writing to a specific church in Rome and envisioning them that they would do it there just like we would do it here. And chapter 12, verse 3 is a charge to humble living because none of this is going to work without humble living. And the charge to humble living in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, points back to the call to whole person surrender to Jesus and the gospel truth transformation. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's the context. That's what we're called into as a church and as individuals. And then Romans chapter 12, verse 3b, it just points to that we grow in this community in Christ by humble thinking of renewed minds, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned him. And all this connects back to Romans 12, 2, the transformed mind. But I want us to note then in this context, as Paul emphasizes humility, When he transitions to Romans chapter 12, verse 4, that word "for" again appears as the very first word, and that tells us why we should think humbly. One reason to think humbly is because I'm a part of a body. I'm not the whole thing. I'm a part of the whole thing, and I value that other person who's a part of this body, who's also in Christ, and that moves me towards humility. For as in one body, we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function. And not only does this text, Romans 12, 4, tell us the why of thinking humbly, it tells us the where of where thinking humbly is happening. And we may think, oh, no, that thinking humbly is just happening there at home with you and your quiet time with Jesus. It's like, no, the where is Romans 12, 4 into Romans 12, 5. It's in the body, for as in one body. He's pointing us to the church community as a place where we express that humility and where we grow in transformed thinking. So all of this is pointing us to the local church, that humble thinking flows into humble living in the context of ministry to and with other believers. I'm not making this up, right? It's right there in the text. And when we just sort of gloss over, we miss it, like, oh, okay, I'm just going to become humble. No, you're going to become humble in connection there. That's where God wants you. That's the laboratory. Some people have the idea that church is sort of like going to the beach. What I mean by that, it's all about me and relaxing. I'm here at the beach. I'm here to relax. I go to church. It's about me and getting my relaxing in. And actually, the church is more like a gym. God says, hey, you want to grow? Get in that body. Connect with those other people. Serve in that body. Worship me. Grow in me. And sometimes even those people that bug me and have a hard time understanding, it's part of the workout. That's what God has designed. You forgive them. You work through it. You grow. It's like, so when we think about growing in isolation, we're not really going to grow. We grow as we submit to Jesus, not just when we're alone, but we submit to Jesus in community. That's the gym that he has for us as we worship him. So now let's look at Romans chapter 12, 5. We're considering this verse today. It speaks to each of us as a believer about our connection in a church community. If Trinity's your home, this is where I envision it happening. If some other church home's your home, great. We're all not just a part of the universal church. We're designed by God to be part of a real, live, local community and relationship with other believers. And there it is. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. So whether you're a knee in the body, an eye in the body, a hand in the body, you're in the body. Don't be hanging out there all isolated as if you're not. You're in the body. You belong in the body. And so you're connecting under Christ with other believers in this body so that the church reflects what Jesus wants it to reflect. That's what a body is. We're together. And that's what that metaphor gets at. We're connected together. So let's talk about being in Christ. This is huge. This is rich. This is deeply significant. You say, well, that sounds like mumbo jumbo, Pastor Bruce. No, I'm going to talk to you today about what it means to be in Christ. And I hope your light bulb goes off and you say, wow, that's amazing. Here's one thing being in Christ means. Being in Christ means that Jesus puts you in the body. If you know Jesus, he put you in the body. This is what happens in conversion. If you don't have personal faith in Jesus, you're not in the spiritual body. And although we welcome you to come to community and listen or whatever, if you don't have faith in Jesus, if you said, hey, I want to become a member, we'd say, oh, first step, faith in Jesus. So conversion, gospel believing, is that by which Jesus puts us in. How do you get in? Believe the gospel. Now, we're going to show this in several different ways. And first, we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, 5. just to notice, so we, though many, are one body in Christ. It's in Christ we are one body. This is not some humanistic thing cobbled together. We're trying to get along and create some kind of unity in a worldly sense. No, this is in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that every spiritual blessing you have is found in Christ. So when we say in Christ, we're speaking of that connection, that relationship, that participation that every believer has, and it begins with personal faith in Christ. So our God-created differences, think of this, and our connection with church community that grows us, think of this, is one aspect of being in Christ. He's got this whole thing figured out. And he's delivering to us all those blessings and all those things he has for us when we believe the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, sort of the thesis verse of Romans, it just says it clearly, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." So if you have believed, you are in Christ. If you have not yet believed in Jesus in a personal way, take that step so you are in Christ and have all the blessings of that union, connection, participation of being in Christ. It's secured by the gospel. Let me show you the connection of gospel believing to church community. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There, it's on your next slide. "For in Christ, Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." That's gospel believing. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, for you are all one in Christ." All of these blessings, including the connection together in a body, his body, is secured, given in Christ. So then, let's move on to community. We've already hinted at this. We're part of a church community. Not just a part of the universal church because we're in Christ, but expressed locally. Paul's envisioning this expressed locally in a church there in Rome. And in church membership, an individual says, "I'm in. This is my home. I enter into the responsibilities of being a part of this body." I'm not hedging or waffling on that. I don't know. Maybe I'm saying, no, I am in here. And in Christ is sort of like saying in church. So commit to it. Connect to it. Where God has placed you, make it yours and grow there and serve there and value others there. George Eldon Ladd has a wonderful book called Theology of the New Testament. And he said something about this phrase in Christ. So that, wow. He said the phrase in Christ and all its rich significance. And incidentally, that phrase is used dozens of times in the New Testament and a couple of dozen times even in Romans alone. That phrase, he says, has a collective emphasis and is practically equivalent to saying being in church. Not the building, but the community of believers under Jesus for Jesus. Being in Christ is practically equivalent to saying being in church. Now, I know some people are like, no, it's just me and Jesus, my own personal life. Yes, you have a personal relationship. There's individuality. This text is not minimizing that, but it's expressed and lived out in a body. And Jesus puts you there, and he calls you not just to say, oh, okay, I guess I'll go get some sermons and hear some things and do a little serving when I feel like and maybe give a little bit. No, you're a part of something, a body. And express and live that then the way Jesus wants you to live. Speaking to and about believers there in Romans chapter 12, verse 5, Paul says, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ. And he's, of course, blowing up this body metaphor. And it's there in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. It's all over the book of Ephesians. It's really blown up big in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at just a handful of those verses, this body metaphor. This commitment, this connection is expressed locally, lived out in relationships with other believers as you serve Jesus. Remember, this is a new image of a church, not the car seat image, but the wonderful panoramic image of what God has for us and what it means to be part of a church community. Now, why does Paul say we? It's interesting. He doesn't say everybody, because that would just sort of emphasize the universal. He says we because it's specific and local and expressed there in Rome. And he includes himself in that because he is a part of the universal, but he includes himself in that because now he is, in writing to them and seeking to connect with them, actually living in and developing some level of fellowship with them. He says, I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift that we might be mutually edified by one another's faith, there in Romans chapter 1. So he's a believer comes into a connection or collection of believers. That believer is at that moment in that way sort of part of that with that body. And they are to live in a way that reflects that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. I mentioned Ephesians. We could find this image all over the book of Ephesians. But I want us to see how this body thing is just living in a way that reflects the purpose of Jesus, what he does through the gospel. We are members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. When you believe, you're put in a body. And when you live consistent with Jesus' purposes for you, you connect in a body. This is what the gospel does. We're in the same body because we've been put there by Jesus through the gospel. So live like it. Live like it. Christ is working by and in the gospel-shaped unity and community in the body. We are members of the same body, Ephesians 3, 6. We are one in Jesus Christ, Galatians 2, 28. So don't disparage the church. This is where God has put you to shape you, mold you, and shape others and mold others to glorify his name and do his purposes. So enter in to his body. The second thing to note about this body connection is the idea of being a member. Now, the local church has members. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. This is where the idea of church membership came up. It wasn't sort of put down as some sort of outside the Bible concept that we sort of plastered on the church. No, it emerged from the text of what it means and to live out the implications of, hey, I'm that elbow in that body. I'm a part of a body. I am a member. Hence, we have membership, where individual believers say, yes, I believe in Jesus. He's called me here. Formally say, hey, I'm in here, okay? Just to be clear, this is my home. I'm entering in. I'm a part of things here. Now, some people join the church and don't live like they're a part of the body. That's not what this is saying. This is saying live like you're part of the body and reflect that in your choices and commitments. So, we've got people being recommended for membership. What does that mean? They're acknowledging this truth. I'm a part here. God's put me here. And yes, when we believe in Jesus, we're part of the universal body. But God wants us to live and express that membership in connection one to another. By faith, we're members of the church universal, so believers enter into membership in a local church. And if you haven't taken that step, if Trinity's your home, we want to tell you more about that so you can live out in obedience to these kinds of principles. It's all about an expression of our submission to Jesus, living like a spiritual family in partnership in ministry for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's community. Of course, this text, although Paul is talking about things that are true in Christ, He is, I believe, challenging them to live consistent with the truths that are in Christ. So there's really an emphasis here, sort of an implied emphasis, verses 4 and verse 5, and especially in the context with verses 1 and verse 2, that we're continuing to live in Christ. We're continuing to live as one who is in and trusting Jesus, and it's about Jesus. Again, it's not about me trying to make you like me. It's about all of us aligning ourselves with Jesus. We're tuning our instruments to Christ. That's how the church works. It's not I'm muscling you, you're muscling me, we're fighting back and forth. No, we're saying, what does Jesus say? How do we tune our lives and our community always to Him? And so Christ is the maker of unity. Christ is the mission of unity. Christ is the one we magnify in our unity. It's all centered in Christ. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. Christ secures unity. He builds unity. He's glorified in unity. So live and grow together as a body in Christ. That's what Paul is, his implied exhortation is to them. That's how this verse should land with you as a believer. Oh, it's about Jesus. I'd like to just unpack for you a little bit some of the a short part of the long list of in Christ blessings. The phrase in Christ. Our redemption is in Christ. We have eternal life in Christ. There's no condemnation in Christ. We'll never be separated from the love of God in Christ. Those are all in the book of Romans. We are justified in Christ. We have forgiveness in Christ. This list could go on and on. It's a wonderful list of all that we have in Christ. And of course, the emphasis is, He's the cup that won't run dry. So it's not living in church community, look at me, look at what I'm doing. No, it's in Christ. It's not look at you. No, it's in Christ. It's not look at us. Wow, Trinity's amazing. No, never. It's in Christ. He's amazing. Look at Jesus. Let us magnify Him together. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, as you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. So yeah, I got all these blessings in Christ. Now live like it. Walk like it. Trust Him. Look to Him. Glorify Him. Connect together in Him. We're objectively in Christ, connected in relationship in Christ, and now we, in that, live in unity in Christ. So don't pull back from the church. That's a temptation. The culture tells us, pull back. Our hurts tell us, pull back. Our desires for isolation tell us, pull back. Don't pull back from people in the church that are different from you. Again, the culture, flesh, hurts are going to tell you, no, you can't. Don't pull back, because God is in Christ displaying His wisdom and advancing the gospel. Ephesians 3:10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known. God is putting on something on display that the world's going to say, there's no way that can happen. But God can make it happen. And of course, Ephesians 4:3, we're eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. We're not, you know, sort of begrudgingly surrendering to, I guess I can't cause problems here. No, we're eagerly maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace because of Christ. He's the maker of unity, the one who's magnified in our unity. He's the purpose of the church. He's the mission and outcome of the unity. All of this is in Christ. Being in Christ is so foundational, so fundamental. Let's talk then about belonging to each other. Some of you kind of been scratching your head. What does that mean? Well, I think it means act like a body. Every believer goes, whoa. I need to act like I'm part of a body. It's not, yes, it's in Christ, but it's also in my connection, reflecting the relationship with others. People that I know, people I don't know, people that have been here as long as I have, people that just walked in the door, people that have needs, who's younger, who needs mentoring, who's somebody I've served with, who's somebody I may be serving with. How can I serve somebody? How can somebody serve me? All of this. That's what it's pointing to, belonging to each other. We have relationship to each other. So the agenda is not to sort of slip in as quick as I can, slip out as quick. quick as I can. It's like, hey, I'm talking to people, praying, getting prayer requests or whatever on the way in, on the way out, hanging out, getting texts and da-da, and calling during the week and getting connected in small group, which is kind of one of the main places we do this at Trinity, serving in ministry, so that we can build this sense of relationship. Speaking to individual believers, Paul said, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. This is not anti-individual. It's not some kind of unhealthy thing where somebody tells you how to run your life. No, that's no. You have responsibilities before God as an individual. But it is individuality expressed in a body. It's identity in Christ expressed and lived out in this wonderful, multifaceted individual ways in a body. And Jesus is orchestrating the whole thing. You know, this last week, Eric was telling me about one person. They was particularly excited about that they were serving in VBS, brand new to Trinity. He said, I think this person made deeper connections with others at TCC in 1 week than some people at Trinity have had for years. What does that mean? If you want to get connected, you got to be around people. And you get around people when you get in a small group and you share together around the Word of God. You get connected when you serve together. Some of the best relationships people have with other folks at Trinity is when they did a DR trip together, they did VBS together, the youth ministry together, whatever else they did together. You want to go from here to here in connection? When we're looking for fall opportunities to serve, say yes to being on a team and serve. It's not just some addendum of volunteerism. It's for you to live out what it means to be a body. You're going to grow. Others are going to grow. The body's going to reflect what Jesus wants to reflect. Whatever that is, however God leads you, we'll talk more about that next week. This analogy, metaphor of the body is real big in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, all the way from verse 12 to verse 27, Paul's just hammering this. Again and again and again. Let's look at verse 12. It kind of launches in, and then verse 27 is the conclusion. You can read it sometime in your own private time. We're going to highlight a couple of key verses and implications here. But this is like saying, okay, so you're younger and they're older. Well, you're still a part of the same body. You're from this background, they're from that background. These are your preferences. No, you're a part of the same body. You are together in one body. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ. This is speaking to believers in a local community there in Corinth, and individually members of it. So let's, as I said, we're sort of bombarding the verse with spotlights. Let's look at another one of those words that might quickly be unnoticed. Romans chapter 12, verse 5, the little word of. The Greek, it's a Greek preposition that often indicates ownership, possession. And that is the way many of the modern translations translate this, belongs to. We are individually members of one another. We individually, we belong to one of them. You say, how do I belong to you? Well, think of that. That, you know, right elbow and the right ear, in one way, do belong to each other, because that right elbow, the only right ear it has is that one. And that right ear, the only right elbow it has is that one. They're part of the body, so they, in some way to speak, belong to each other. It's not somebody other's right ear. It's your right elbow. It's your right ear. You belong. And there's, of course, relationship, connection, valuing, all expressed in that idea of belonging. That's what Paul's saying. That's how you think about one another. Now, you can't know everybody instantaneously, but he's saying embrace this priority of relationship and think about not just the people you know now, but others you don't know. Think about how God is building something here, and take wherever you're at, just take those next steps. For some, they're like, hey, I need some friends here at Trinity. The people coming in have actually said that to me. Are you going to be their friend? Somebody, please, right? Somebody's like, hey, I'm hurting. I need somebody at Trinity to care for me and encourage me. hey, can I do that? Somebody's younger and may need a mentor or whatever. Hey, who's ready? Somebody's older and they're feeling alone and isolated. And they have, hey, anybody here? That's what it means it belongs to, right? We can't all be doing everything, but we're all doing something. Somebody has said, you know, the definition of unhealthy church is nobody does what everybody thinks somebody else will do. But a healthy church says, hey, that's mine. I'm an elbow. I'm an ear. That's my thing. That's my job. I'm in. I'm going to help with that one. And care for, connect, and express that belonging with the body. So one more spotlight. One another. Don't get me going. Speaking to individual believers, Paul says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. That word one another, what's translated one another, the Greek word allelos, is used multiple times in the New Testament. In fact, twice in this context. Romans 12:10, you want to look at it, there's one another. It's a one another command. Romans 12:16, there's another one. If you want the whole list of Bible one another's, these are the commands. The sheet is on the table in the center lobby. When I look at this sheet, I notice that the vast majority of these cannot be done sitting in a pew. It's relationship, it's small group, it's making a phone call, it's visiting, it's encouraging, it's reaching out, it's writing a note. It's a parking lot conversation. You got to move beyond sort of the dispensary of sermons and the wonderful music that helps to worship God into relationship to fulfill one another's. And so this is hinting at that very thing that Romans 12:10, Romans 12:16, and the yellow sheet are saying explicitly, live these out. Value those people under Jesus for his purposes. Let's talk about the benefit. What do we mean by that? The implication of this whole body metaphor, of course, is that, hey, the elbow does some things that the ear can't do. That other person in the church community, their gifts, their individuality, they're helping me to grow. And I'm here, perhaps, in some way, to help them to grow. So the individual members of the body are all a part of this beautiful thing God is doing, and there's benefit that comes in the belonging. The very next verse, Romans 12:6, is getting at some of this benefit when it speaks of ministry and gospel mission. We're going to talk more about that next week. Each believer receives grace for different gifts and roles in the body. So if you believe in Jesus, you benefit the body and others in the body in some way. A lot of times people bury that. I'm like, I don't know, I'm just here. No, you're not just here. You're here to benefit others in the body. And others in the body benefit you. Some people, you know, see themselves as strong. I don't need anybody. It's like, no, there are people in the body that you need. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 says this explicitly, this benefiting. And it says this, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? So by being connected to the body, there are things, benefits that come to you and benefits you bring to others. So this is not passive spectators. Again, it may be different than what you've thought of church, but this is what the Bible is saying repeatedly. We are not passive spectators. We are active connectors in a community where we serve and value one another. That's benefit. And the benefit, of course, has implications of interdependence. We are interdependent with one another. Again, in a healthy way, not some kind of weird way. We're individuals, yes, answering to the Lord, yes, growing in responsibility there, yes, but, hey, I need you. There's things that I need you, and there are things that you need me. And there's things you need that person that's different from you, that's younger than you, that's older than you, that's whatever else. Because they're in the body. God's put them there. And you go into that group and say, oh, man, we're different. It's like, well, maybe they're there for your benefit or you're there for their benefit. Think of that. There's this interdependence that is implied here. So we, though many, are one body. And, of course, each may help to meet the needs of the other. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21 gets at this specifically in a way that might make us mildly uncomfortable. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. And yet many times Christians say, not directly, but in their attitudes, I don't need you. I don't need the church. I don't need you, by the way. And you don't need me either. But that's not true. And I'd like us all, if we agree, to repeat after me two things. I need others in the body. Can we say that? I need others in the body. Okay, let's put a little humility there. Yeah, I need some more. Yeah. And here's the other side of that. Don't put yourself down. Others in the body need me. Can we say that? Others in the body need me. This is the way God has designed it. This is what it means to be belonging to each other. And of course, that leads to not only interdependence, belonging, benefiting, but caring for one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. When a joint of your body is having trouble, guess what? Your body gives it a lot of grace. You know, the other side picks up the slack and like, oh, come on, you know, let's cheer him on, right? That's what we need to be for each other. When we're struggling, when we're hurting, when we're in a difficult spot. That's what this is pointing us to. And of course, grace, even that sometimes we don't do it that well. But we're trying to learn, we're trying to grow, we're trying to do better at all this. So how's your mind doing with all this stuff about belonging to each other and being in Christ? Are you troubled? Confused, pushing against? I hope not. I hope you're willing to enter into community in the church for gospel mind renewing. That's what we're here for. It's a community for gospel mind renewing to the glory of Jesus Christ and advancing his purposes. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's just, you know, three verses away. And it connects to thinking in Romans 12:3, which is just the verse before. And it connects to the body, Romans 12, 5. And sometimes we want to think, no, it's just about me and Jesus. And yet Jesus said, no, this mind renewing is in the context of and expressed in church community. That's where I do that work. Are you ready and willing to enter in? Take those steps God wants you to, however he directs in this. Let me just suggest some possible responses. Of course, number one, numero uno, is believe in Jesus. And if you have believed, confess him in believer baptism. I want to put that in there because we could have talked about in Christ. The whole baptism thing, that's all in Christ too. Not something that you get around conversion. Conversion's first, and then you publicly confess Christ in believer baptism. We've got one we're working on. Got a couple people interested. If you want to join that group, if you believe in Jesus and want to publicly confess him in believer baptism, I'd love to help you take that step. And if you need to have some encouragement and questions answered as you believe in Jesus, seek out one of us, or even reach out to someone beside you there. I know many here are well-equipped to guide you as you take that step. What about membership, TCC membership? This text, I think, implies it. It points to it. It's a way we express what this is saying. And if you have been led by the Lord here, you want to know more about membership, we explain that and explore that in our Next Steps class, which is coming in September. Small groups. We're going to have sign-ups in September. We typically do small groups in three seasons here at Trinity, fall, winter, and spring. And this is where we envision many of these one-anothers happening at a much deeper level. Yeah, we hope there's that as you're going in, going out, serving in ministry. But small groups are designed not just for information, but for relational community. We want to help you enter into that, experience that this fall. Be ready and sign up in September, and I know you'll be blessed. And others will be blessed too. And remember, most importantly, you are in Christ if you believe in Jesus, so live like it. Minister to others. Minister with others. Grow and serve together. And I'd like to encourage you to put Sunday, September 11th on your calendar is we're going to kind of launch into fall ministry that day. If you're thinking about somebody that's new, invite them to that. If you want to meet people that are new and help connect them, be there to do that. If you're thinking about somebody you've been missing, invite them to that. If you want to connect people that have been disconnecting, be there and do that. If you want to learn about how you can serve more or grow together in community this fall, I hope you put that date on your calendar so that we can really kick off with a wonderful season of serving the Lord together in one body. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we so need your help. We thank you that you are the one, by your finished work on the cross and your work applied to us, who puts us in Christ. And as we are in Christ, you put us in a body. And as we are in a body, you grow us in that body, and you grow others in and through that body. So, Jesus, we praise you, and we also want to depend on you and look to you. You are the cup that does not run dry, so help us to continue to drink from that cup that does not run dry. Lord, align our lives, our thinking, our hearts, our relationships with your purposes for us. Align our church and our fellowshipping together and serving together with your purposes for us, Lord, we pray. We thank you. We praise you. You are the center of it all, Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen.